You might say to me, no, that's not me. I'm a unique individual snowflake. I'm not like that. But we each have a routine, a set of habits. Maybe for you, it's going to the gym a certain amount of days a week. Maybe for you, it's studying with loud music blaring. Or maybe you can't do that. You have to have it quiet when you're studying. Or maybe it's just the foods that you eat, whatever. We each have a routine, a set of habits. For instance, how many of you have a spot at church, like a seat or a bench, that you sit in Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Hands up. Come on, be honest, people. I see you every single Sunday, so I know that you guys do. What would happen if somebody came to church and sat in your spot? What would you do? Like, oh, no, you didn't. Are you? I know you saw me there last week. I know you saw me there 2 weeks ago. Do you know who I am? We'd be upset. It's routine. We get used to doing things a certain way. We get off of work. We get in our cars. We start driving. And before we even realize that we made any lefts or rights or got on the freeway or whatever, we're home. And we're like, how did that happen? We just coasted from work or school all the way home. Like, when did that happen? And the problem is that we do the same thing with the Bible, with the Word of God oftentimes, is we just coast. It's a routine. When we approach the Bible, we approach it as just something ordinary, something that we want to get through, you know? We want to get from work to home. We're not really excited about that trip in between. So we want to get from chapter 3 to chapter 9. We're not really looking forward to the, you know, to the content in between. And with the Word of God, we can't approach it that way. We can't coast. We can't treat it as a routine. As Gabby mentioned, this is the second part of the message from last week, where he mentioned that what we need is, when we're approaching the Word of God, we need illumination. And that is God, the Holy Spirit, opening up our eyes to see the meaning, to attach meaning to the words found in this book, which, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, oftentimes we're like, man, I don't get it. It's dry, it's repetitive, it's not necessarily speaking to me. And in order for that not to be the case, we need God to illuminate us. And the Bible, like many things in life, but, you know, apart from many things in life, is different. There's a depth, there's a meaning that can only be gleaned when God directly speaks and informs you of what you're reading. For instance, Lida, if you can put up that picture, there's a test for color blindness that we're going to put up here. And do you guys see anything going on in the middle of that circle over there? 7, yeah? What's the number? 7, right? Dad, can you see the number 7? You can't see it, right? See, my dad's colorblind, or partially colorblind, and he has trouble distinguishing between certain colors, like reds and greens. That's why I thank the Lord that Mom dresses him. Otherwise, he'd be here with pink socks and what have you. But, you know, if you suffer from that disease of color blindness, you would look at a circle like that, and you wouldn't see anything going on in there. You would think it's just some random collection of little circles, and that's that. But if your eyes are right, I'm sorry, Dad, if your eyes are right, you look at this and you see that there's a depth of meaning hidden in that circle. Well, it's the same with the scripture. There's a depth of meaning that we can only appreciate when God illuminates us. And Gabby touched on why we need illumination, the benefits of being illuminated, the benefits of having God speak to us while we're reading the scripture, the benefits that we gain from it. And what I'm going to cover this week is how to do that, how to gain illumination. So the first thing that we need to look at is, if I want God to shine that spotlight on the word when I'm reading it, and for me to actually get anything out of it, first and foremost, I must begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is beginner type stuff for now, but it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, which you probably have with you, the man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There are certain things that we cannot understand with our human eyes and with our human brains. We look at this Bible and we treat it as if it were any other novel. We treat this Bible as if it were written by man, and that's it. Whereas when it's completely different. This is the Word of God, and
I'm not saying there are secrets in the Bible, because that's not how God operates. It's not like he puts in secrets and you have to be, I don't know, spiritually initiated, you know the secret handshake or whatever to be able to understand them. No, they're freely available to everybody. They're freely available to all of us if we are in Christ. First and foremost, we need to be believers and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you at the end of the service, come and talk to one of the pastors, and we would love to let you know what needs to happen in order for that to happen. But that's the first step. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ for our eyes to be opened to understand spiritual truth. Now, you might think to yourself, maybe the majority of the people here, I already have a relationship with Christ. I gave my life to Christ 10 years ago. I was born in a Christian family. That's all good and well, but it doesn't get you off the hook. See, depth matters as well. Your depth of relationship with Christ is important. So the light that shines on the word when we're reading it depends on the depth of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we've been on this spiritual walk for many, many years, but we still hold Christ off at a distance, if we still treat him in a superficial way, if it's high by, if that's the kind of relationship that we have with him, then our reading of the scripture is going to be superficial. Then our understanding of the scripture is going to be superficial. Yet, as you delve deeper and deeper into relationship with him, you will see that instead of a match, or instead of a candle, or instead of one of those, you know, 30-watt light bulbs, it's going to be a flashlight. The more that you know Jesus Christ, the bigger that spotlight is going to be, and the more you're going to be able to understand the Word of God, the more you're going to be able to get out of the Word of God. So we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as it says in John 3:3, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." We need to be born again and have a relationship with Christ. The second thing that must happen is, I must ask God in faith to open my eyes. I must ask God in faith to open my eyes. Look at this amazing verse in Psalm 119, verse 18. If you have it with you, read with me. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Let's repeat that. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Whenever we approach Scripture, I encourage you guys to do this. I encourage everybody to do this. Again, it's not a book that can be comprehended in a human way, in a purely human way. There is spiritual depth that can only come out when God opens our eyes. So we need to pray this prayer, pray this verse every time we approach the scripture and say, "God, open my eyes. I know what I can do and I know what I can't do. God, I need your help to be able to understand the scripture." And he says in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt." Guys, we often come to the scripture and we say, I'm confused, I'm having an issue, I have a problem, I need help. I need a solution to this thing that I'm dealing with. And we pop open the scripture and we just kind of, you know, go through, flip a few pages, and nothing happens, and we kind of put it down and we're kind of disappointed. This is when we need to say, "God, open up my eyes," because he says, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know how to tackle that situation, if you have that friend at school that you've been witnessing to and it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere, or if you're having that issue at work, boss is riding you like nothing else, and you're like, "What is going on? I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to, you know, be the best employee that I can," or no matter what I do at school, this professor just doesn't seem to like me. Whatever the issue is, if you're lacking wisdom on how to deal with it, God is saying, "Hey, look, I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you wisdom. I'm here to give you a solution to that problem. Just come and seek me. Open up the word, but don't look at it with your eyes. Ask for help from me. Help me, let me open up your eyes." And he says in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7, a verse that we know, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." And in other translations, it says, "Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking." And it's speaking of perseverance. So we can't just say and be happy with saying, "You know, I did that once. I knocked. I asked God for help with my problem last Tuesday." And then ever since then, we didn't do anything else. God says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep praying to me, keep seeking wisdom from me, and it will happen because he says, I'm giving you this promise. I will instruct you, he says in Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you, and I will watch over you. This is God's promise to you. When you're approaching his word, and you're seeking wisdom, and you're asking for him to open up your eyes, he says, I will honor that prayer, and I will open up your eyes. I will open up your mind to understand the wisdom of God. When I was in high school, we read through Moby Dick. Has anybody read that book? I had an amazing English teacher, and we took it chapter by chapter, and he just explained to us what the meaning of each passage, the meaning of each word, the meaning of each circumstance that was covered in the book. And it was just such a rich experience for me to go through this novel because I had this person explaining it to me. Flavio, on the other hand, he read the first three chapters, read the last three chapters, did his book report, and that was it. And he was happy with that. I mean, he got his A or B or I don't know, whatever he got. But I think personally, just because of the joy that I got from going through that book, going through that experience, I think he's missing out. And it's the same thing with the Bible. God is saying, there are wonderful things in this book. There are wondrous things in the Bible. And if you can't see them, it's not the Bible's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. Because we're not approaching it in the right way. Because we're not approaching it through Christ and having him open our eyes. The third thing that I must do is I must come with a humble attitude. He says in Psalm 25, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. The most dangerous place for any person to be is to be talented, is to be gifted. It's a double-edged sword. These are God's gifts to us. But what ends up happening is that we start to rely on our talents. We start to rely on our gifts. We start to rely on our abilities. Pastors are in danger of this. Musicians are in danger. Worship leaders, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit to lead, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit to create that atmosphere of worship, we try to... worship leaders are tempted to trick people through songs, through manipulations of other sorts. Business leaders, business people are in danger of falling into this, where they're successful and they believe or they attribute that success to themselves, to their own hard work, to their own imagination, to their own wisdom, instead of attributing it to God. But God says, For me to work and to give you wisdom and for me to open up the depth of the knowledge that I have here in the scripture, you need to come to me in a humble way. Only the humble will God honor. If you come with a proud heart, if you ever come to the point where you say, I have nothing else to learn from anybody. I'm too good, I'm too talented, I've been through it all, I've seen it all, then you are blind, my friend. You are blind. Your eyes can't see. And when you approach the scripture, you will be deceiving yourself. You will think that you see certain things, but God will not be speaking to you. If you are proud, if there's pride in your heart, God will not speak. We need to approach the word humbly. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So let's trust in the Lord and not ourselves, not in our own wisdom. The fourth thing that I must do, I must cleanse my heart of sin and of conflict. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart will see God. And if you're prideful, you're saying, all right, I'm pure. And you're in trouble, so that's not going to happen. But if you're not, if you're realistic, you might say, man, I know I'm not pure, so there goes my shot. Well, notice that I didn't say the perfect. God never asks us, God never demands of us to be perfect in and of ourselves. Our perfection lies in Jesus Christ. Our perfection is when we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. What pure in heart means is to be caught up in your relationship with God, to be caught up in confession, to be caught up in just setting things right, where you go through your day and you say, God, I was wrong in this area. you're right, I messed up here. Or God, you were right in this area. I was stubborn, I was rebellious, I didn't do what you told me. This God, I'm sorry, forgive me. Give me the strength to move back on your path. He doesn't ask us to be perfect and to do everything right, because if that's what it took, none of us would ever see God. Pastors, how many of you are perfect? You're pastors, right? You've been on this walk for years and years, for decades. You've been in the scripture for decades. Have you reached perfection? Even the Apostle Paul says, I have not grasped it yet. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. So who are we to say that, you know, we've got it down? But God's grace covers that. God's grace covers us when we are imperfect. God's grace covers us when we do mess up. So if we do, make sure we run back to Christ. Don't let the day pass without confessing. Don't let that argument pass without trying to set it right. This is what we need to do. We must cleanse our hearts of sin and of conflict. And that's the other part of it, of sin. We need to cleanse our heart of sin. We can't be in sin and then come to God and expect for God to speak to us and give us wisdom. But we also can't be in conflict. We can't be hating on people and expect God to speak to us. We can't, you know, just yell at each other, just go at each other, you're awful, I hate you, I never want to speak to you, and God, I need help on that test. What kind of wisdom do you have for me over here in the scripture? That's not going to happen. If we have conflict with somebody in our lives, that's going to be a roadblock to our relationship with God. In fact, it says, if you're coming to worship and you realize, you remember that you have an issue with somebody, leave your offering at the altar, go make the phone call, write the letter, seek the person out, do what you need to do to set things right. Do everything that you can to set things right, and then come back and worship God. Then come back and approach the scripture and seek God's wisdom, because otherwise we're not going to see anything. And then the last thing that needs to happen, it says, I must commit in advance to do what God says. Listen to Psalm 119, verses 33 through 34. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep them. I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. So this is what we need to do. We need to say, God, here's my week. This is what's out in front of me. This is what I think I should do. This is what I'm planning to do. This is where I'm planning to go. But God, I don't know how to handle this situation. You know that I have this thing that's going to come up, and I don't have wisdom to fix it. I don't have wisdom to give an answer. I don't have wisdom to get past this issue, this situation. God, I'm coming to your word with humility. God, I'm coming and asking you to open my eyes, but if you do open my eyes, when you do open my eyes, I'm committing ahead of time to do what you say. I'm committing ahead of time to be obedient to your word. God, this is my day. These are the hours that I have ahead of me. This is my schedule. This is where I'm going. God, I need wisdom. I need strength. I need a guidance from you. But God, I'm committing that if you speak to me, when you speak to me, when you give me your wisdom, I will say, here am I, Lord, send me. If I wanted to go to the left and you tell me to go to the right, that's what I will do, because I trust and believe in you. So, in ending, what it all comes down to, what it can all be wrapped up in, is in James chapter 1, verse 22, where it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If we do all these steps, if we do all these five things that we covered today, memorize them, understand them, repeat them, study them, but yet in the end don't do what God says, then we are deceiving ourselves. So let's not deceive ourselves, but let's be a Bible-believing, trusting church, body of believers, and let's do what God says. Amen? Amen.